Hello, today, we're diving into the basics of problem-based learning, or PBL. We'll be unpacking what it actually is, how you can run a concise, single-lesson PBL, and we've even got some ready-to-use examples. Hi Lisa, are you ready to get started?
Absolutely, James. PBL is such an exciting approach to teaching. For anyone new to the concept, problem-based learning is an active learning method where small groups of students work together to solve a real-world problem. Instead of being handed all the information, students have to figure out what they need to learn, do some research, come up with possible solutions, and then create something concrete as an output.
Right, and what's great about single-lesson PBL is that the whole problem is tightly focused. It's designed to fit into one class period, so the learning goals are achievable in a single lesson. I like that it's so practical and manageable for teachers who might be new to the method.
Exactly. And one of the key things about PBL is that it's learner-centered. So, the students are driving the inquiry rather than the teacher just delivering information. The tasks are always relevant to real life, which helps students see the point of what they're doing.
And group work is at the heart of it. Students usually work in groups of 3 to 5, each with defined roles and shared responsibility. The teacher becomes more of a facilitator, guiding the process, asking questions, and providing feedback as students work through the problem.
That's such an important shift. The teacher isn't the sole source of knowledge anymore. Instead, they prompt the students, check their understanding as they go, and give formative feedback. And then, at the end, there's a brief product or presentation, something tangible the students have created.
Let's give some examples, shall we? There are some brilliant short PBL tasks that fit into a single lesson. For maths, one of my favorites is the school lunch menu challenge. Groups get a $120 budget for 30 students. They have to design a healthy two-item meal, so, say, a main and a drink, that meets nutrition criteria and stays within the budget. Then they create a poster showing all their calculations and a short nutrition justification.
That's a great one for real-life budgeting and arithmetic skills. I also love the science example, microgarden rescue. The scenario is that the classroom's microgarden is wilting. Students have to diagnose the causes just by observing, then design 2 corrective actions, one for now, one for next week, and explain how they'll measure if their plan works. They use flipchart paper and plant samples, so it's very hands-on.
There's also a brilliant task for language or media classes, local news short. Here, students create a 1-minute video or a short written news item about a local school issue, like recycling bins. They have to include facts and 2 quotes, one of which can be a simulated interview. It really helps with concise writing and media literacy.
And for civic education, there's the school rules, fair or not, scenario. The class debates a proposed rule banning phones on campus at all times. Groups decide if it's fair, then recommend 2 alternatives that balance safety, learning, and student rights. Their output is a recommendation and a quick pitch. It's fantastic for practicing argumentation and perspective taking.
Those are all short versions, but there's also a more fully scaffolded 60-minute civic education PBL scenario that teachers can use almost straight away. The scenario is called Community Green Space, Whose Priorities, and it really brings in so many key skills.
Yes, the idea is that the local council wants to redevelop an unused lot near the school, and the class acts as an advisory panel. There are 3 options: a commercial parking lot, a children's park, or a community garden. Students have to identify all the different stakeholders, research, and propose solutions, and finally present and justify their recommendation.
It's so well structured. Groups are given flipchart paper, markers, sticky notes, and maybe some devices. Each group gets roles: host, recorder, researcher, presenter, and the teacher prepares everything beforehand, from scenario handouts to a fact sheet with local council minutes or budget figures.
And the timeline is really clear, which is helpful for teachers just starting out. The lesson starts with a hook, like a photo of the green site and a question to spark interest. Then there's time for clarifying questions, knowledge mapping, targeted research, outlining solutions, and preparing a pitch. Finally, groups present and get peer feedback, and the teacher wraps up with a summary and a quick reflection activity.
What I like is that assessment is built in, but it's supportive rather than high stakes. There's a simple rubric focused on things like identifying stakeholders, using evidence, the logic and quality of arguments, teamwork, and clarity of the presentation. Plus, there are options for differentiation, templates for younger students, or extra challenges for older ones, like drafting a flyer or a policy memo.
Absolutely. And there are some great practical tips for teachers. First, keep the problem focused and achievable in the time you have. Don't try to run a massive project in one lesson. Early PBL lessons should be highly structured, with clear roles and templates. It usually takes about 4 goes before students really get the hang of the PBL process.
That's so true. Teachers need to actively monitor groups, step in to address misconceptions, and provide feedback as the lesson unfolds. And it's important to vary the final products. One time it might be a poster, another time a short video or a PowerPoint presentation. This helps students build a range of presentation skills.
And don't forget about teamwork skills. Short pair work at the start can help students practice collaborating before they get into bigger groups. Also, documenting the outputs, taking photos or videos, means students can show parents and you've got evidence for assessment.
To wrap up, if you're a teacher looking to try PBL, start small and keep it structured. Define your learning goals clearly, prepare materials and rubrics in advance, and plan the timing carefully. With regular practice, students get much better at independent problem solving.
And most importantly, remember to reflect with your students. Ask what evidence changed their minds, which perspectives were hardest to represent, and which civic skills they practiced. That's where so much of the learning happens.
Brilliant advice, Lisa. Thanks for joining me to break down the essentials of PBL. We hope you're inspired to give it a try in your own classroom.
Thanks, James. And thanks to everyone listening. See you next time for more practical teaching ideas.